businesses. What does it do for some of these developmental guys who we might not necessarily see how a game like tonight pays off for several days, months, years?
Yeah, it's I think it's, it's never a good thing when you have guys out, but I think some of the players that do find themselves in different situations, whether it means playing, starting, playing more, it affirms the importance of all the work that they put in. And we've had some guys that they've been sponges, and they're there early, they're working, and to be honest with you, a lot of the things and the habits that we're trying to instill within our entire team, those guys are fully committed to those things. Not that the larger group isn't, but I think the larger group is a work in progress, in a different way, collectively. You saw some of that last night, some of the inconsistency with our commitment to how we need to play. So some of the guys that are, whether it be Keaton or B or Caleb, Asa, those guys, Mo's been playing, obviously, but a different role. Those guys have opportunities now to continue to do those things in longer spells.
Coach, have a chance tonight to really take advantage of the three-point line with the way you all have been defending it so well, and then you have a Lakers team that's not shooting it as well right now from behind the arc. What advantage do you have with defending the three, and how much emphasis is that tonight?
Well, I think, they actually, even though the Lakers haven't done that, they've been doing a few other things offensively that are pretty good. So I think your focus obviously goes to Luka, of course, but it's beyond that. It's what are the things that he's able to create? And again, I don't know that our defense systematically changes, but there certainly are different points of emphasis and certain adjustments that you make even within kind of the do what you do philosophy of kind of continuing to build habits. And there's games that require different points of focus, different game plans throughout the course of the game. This is one.
So I'll ask you about defending Luka. I kind of asked you a similar question when SGA was here. How do you slow him down? What are some different looks that you may be able to throw at him without giving too much away?
Someone sent me this morning the diatribe that I had from the playoffs thing about, I don't know how many years ago, about defending Luka. It basically, the conclusion was that it didn't really matter what you did, whether he goes left or right or this or that, and that's not, of course, entirely true. You don't throw your arms up, but he's that unique of a player. I think one of the biggest things right now is he's going to score. He's playing 40 minutes a game, making him, not allowing him to get to the foul line. And I think if there was one thing that you feel like maybe you have a chance to impact in a fundamental way that doesn't involve a scheme, because you can double him and he'll find an open shooter, and if that player makes the shot, then, should you not have doubled? You could not double him, and he shoots a step back three, and should you have doubled him? So you can continue to play, those games, and you do the best you can with that. Maybe you try to throw him different looks, try to get different matchups, but I think not putting him on the foul line is something that everybody should be able to grab onto, and it's easier said than done. He's very good at baiting fouls, but that's something I think affects the game in a lot of ways because it stops the game. It allows them to get back, and when we've done that this year, we've seen a negative impact, an exponential one, I think, that hurts us going back the other way on offense as well.
And Quinn, to your left, good to see you, man. You're already trying to adjust without Trey as far as running your offense, without Nikhil, without Jalen. How do you find a way to create advantages and get through a night in the NBA?
Yeah, it's a lot of thought around that, obviously, and really over the course of the summer, like envisioning certain lineups and trying to find a style of play that kind of works for all of us. Us being able to push the ball off the court, you know, to really run and to pass ahead and to play with the pass, I think share, you know, spread some of that ball handling responsibility across a number of players, whether that be, you know, Keaton, Dyson, Onyeka. You know, we've got some bigs that, you know, that are capable playmakers and handlers. So do we play through our bigs more? I think that's something that the last few games you've seen. Trying to stay true to think that fundamentally the things that we feel like we need to do, no matter who's in the game, become even more pronounced and important. You know, if we're not spaced, it's hard to pass. So you saw the other night, we're going into the lane, and if I don't have someone spaced to pass, I end up taking a tough shot or I end up turning the ball over. So I think there has to be a collective understanding. Sometimes players don't want to need each other. You know, it's I guess it's just human nature. You want to be able to, I got it. And maybe you do, but you can also use help. And to the extent we can think about how to help each other and make all those small sacrifices that are required to generate good offense, I think it's a very ambiguous answer to the question, but the larger scheme is just we have to play together, and that is what we want to do anyway. It means we got to run, we got to space, we got to pass, we got to make really quick decisions. If the ball stops, you know, teams that pressure in particular make it harder for us to play.
Quinn,
I know, that's how I feel sometimes.
Echoes a lot of feedback.
I can hear you too. I still don't understand why we do this. Go ahead.
To your point about, you know, playing now, you play regardless of the opponent, just to master your own game plans. The Lakers come in tonight, one of the more prolific mid-range teams, and in this era of NBA where defense is going to take away rim, corner threes, open threes, free throws, like, they're thriving in that kind of in-between area. Is that when you're game planning, you know, coaching, is that sometimes disorienting or just something that's more abnormal to go into a game like
that? Yeah, I think the, you know, all mid-range shots aren't created equal as well, right? So, but when you have a team that that is that good in a certain area, you know, I think it's, you have to adjust. You have to think about what are the shots that we want to either take away or make harder, and does that mean shifting more? But it's, I think a player can do that to you, and also a team can do it too. Similar, we try to take away corner three, catch and shoot corner three, just percentages, right? They're good, but if suddenly someone's making mid-range shots at that high clip, that becomes more important. So it's a great point, and a good question, and I think those things have to be built into kind of schematically what you're trying to do defensively, so you can adjust in those areas where it's not just completely foreign. So it's something we try to work on. And as I said before too, I think those are some of the situations where when people are doing that, they foul. You know, and that makes it even harder.
Thanks.